Beautiful Lady's Secret, the Iron Lady, winning the 1986 Whitney right here at Saratoga. It was the first of five victories in the race for Hall of Fame jockey Pat Day, and only Jerry Bailey has equaled that mark, so Pat and Jerry tied at the top. John Velasquez, who will ride Tonalist in this year's renewal, is just one behind. And I think that's very fitting considering the fact that those are three of the greatest riders that we have ever seen, JT.
Yeah, if you were going to do a jockey Mount Rushmore, you'd probably choose those three guys.
Yeah, I would think so. And that call, Lady's Secret, brings back some great memories. And I know it probably does for Pat Day. And he joins us now on the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Pat, really appreciate the time. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate you having me on this in this great day.
Yeah, spectacular day and a gorgeous day from a weather perspective, but a great day to look back on some of those performances. And that one in particular, Lady's Secret, winning with a filly and winning against the boys, your first win in the race, had to be very special.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But Lady's Secret was a very special horse. And Wayne Lucas done an excellent job of preparing her for the race. And I was a good passenger. She pretty much done it all on her own. She'd break and run away from there and just stay out of her way, let her do her thing, and ultimately she would win. And what a great filly, what a great feeling, what a great day.
Well, that's one of the things that I always love about you, Pat, is that you're perfectly honest, self-deprecating sometimes, but you're the only jock that I ever interviewed that came back and said, boy, did I ride that one badly. So that was a first for me. Could have pushed me over with a feather. But I think you deserve a little bit more credit than just being a passenger.
Well, the key ingredient is stock. I've told all my agents throughout the years, put me on a horse that's 10 lengths the best, I'll win by a length and look good doing it. And oftentimes I was that well mounted. My agents done extraordinary work in securing mounts for me to ride, and the people involved, the connections done great work getting them prepared. And I was just one link in the chain, and we was only as strong as the weakest link. Everybody had to do their part, and everybody should have enjoyed equally in the success.
Well, I think that's important in our business too, the relationships. And you're a guy that's always had good relationships with the top trainers like Wayne Lucas and Elliot Walden. You used to ride for a lot, and a lot of other guys that part of that's developing those relationships and having those riders have their trust in you.
Well, certainly that plays a role. Plays a major role. They have to have confidence in you and in your ability to get the job done in order to offer you the opportunity. And then, of course, you have to step up to the plate and do your part. And this is just the greatest game played outdoors, in my opinion.
Yeah, very well said. Pat Day joining us on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Pat, so often people would refer to you as Patient Pat, and they would talk about your soft hands that you had when you rode. Was that something that you consciously worked on? Was that one of the strengths of your game, or was it something that just came natural to you?
It was something that just came natural. I was visiting with some folks last night about that very thing, and they inquired as to, how did you get the horse to do that? How did you do that? What was it? And I don't have an answer. It was part and parcel of who and what I am. And I, quite honestly, I've called it God-given talent. I fully believe that that's what it is, what it was. The ability to communicate with the horse and their willingness to do what I wanted them to do. And an intuitiveness of knowing when to call on them, when to ask them for their best. And, I reflect back on a lot of the races that we participated in and subsequently won. And again, the key ingredient is the horse and being well prepared, obviously. But I would oftentimes, I would reflecting back on those races, I look back at it now and I think, why did I do that? Ultimately, we won, but I had no plausible excuse or reason for why I done what I done at that point in the race. And again, it was just intuitiveness. It was a feel. I done what I felt was right at the time, and ultimately we would win.
I had a chance to talk with a mutual friend of ours, retired jockey Jerry LaSala, last night, who rode with you, Pat, and he told me that one thing that made Pat Day so good was that you would come to him at the top of the stretch and you thought you had him, and Pat would just be sitting there, and then all of a sudden he would just take off and the horse would find another gear. And that was somewhat of your trademark, wasn't it?
Well, it was, but there again, it was, you know, an ability to get the horses to settle with minimal encouragement on my part. When a rider would come to me, I didn't have my feet in the dashboard and really throwing them down, which would be an indication that, man, I've got a lot of horse. I would be letting them kick along there under a long, light hold, and they would be very relaxed at that stage, which would be a bit misleading for those that would come to me. So when they came to me, they didn't know if I did or if I didn't have horse. And you know, most times I would, and then when I would, you know, gently encourage the horse, they responded. So again, it's just part and parcel of the tremendous talent and ability that the Lord had entrusted me with.
Well, of all the Whitneys that you won, which one was your very favorite?
Which one what, sir?
Was your very favorite?
You know, they were all very special, but possibly Easy Goer. If I'm recalling the race correctly, I think there was 7 or 8 horses in the race. It was not an oversized field. I broke from down on the inside somewhere, and as the field moved into and around the first turn, I was down on the inside with nowhere to go. And I look back when we turned up the backside and these horses were staggered on the outside of me, all the way back to crypto clearance. I'm thinking, man, I need to get, I'm in a bad spot here. I've got to get out. And the only way to get out was to ease all the way back to come around. Crypto clearance was the last horse in the race and he was trailing the field. I said, there's no way I can get back. I'm going to have to sit here and see what happens. And so Easy Goer was content to sit in the pocket. When we came off the turn into the stretch, the horses in front of us spread just a little bit. And when I squeezed him, when I smooched at him, boom, he accelerated, blew through the hole, and won quite impressively. Easy Goer was, in my opinion, the best horse that I ever rode, and I rode some good ones. But that would probably be the race that would Whitney that would stand out.
Well, Easy Goer won the race in 1989. We mentioned Lady Secret, who won it in 86. That was the first of your 5, Pat. Following Lady Secret, in between Lady Secret and Easy Goer, you won it in 87 with Java Gold for Mac Miller. And I know that that had to be a pretty special win for you as well.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Java Gold was a very special individual, and he'd gotten beat a nose in an allowance race at Belmont, but that set him up perfectly for the Whitney. Java Gold that afternoon sort of changed up his running style. He'd been going to or up close to the lead in all of his previous races, and then the Whitney that afternoon, he broke and dropped back. And here again, going back to the God-given talent, I was content to let him do that. And, he kicked around there just nice, relaxed, calm, cool, collected. Leaving the 3/8 pole, I'm thinking, you know, maybe we need to get in the game. And when I encouraged him a little bit, he responded gamely. And I think Gulch possibly finished second in the race under Jose Santos, 2 3-year-olds against older horses that year. But Java Gold come on and won nicely. And then, of course, came back in the Traverse. Came from last on a muddy field, muddy racetrack that afternoon, and exploded in the run in the stretch and won quite nicely. And I'd had some success with the Rokeby Stable early on in my career when I first came to New York in '76. So it was nice to get back together with Rokeby Stable and Mac Miller and to win those races.
Hall of Famer Pat Day recorded 8,803 wins in that Hall of Fame career. Your final 2 wins in the Whitney would come in 1995 with Unaccounted For, and a few years later in 98 with Awesome Again. What do you remember about those 2 days, Pat?
Well, Unaccounted For, that might have been the first time that I rode him for Scotty Schoelhofer. And He was back in the pack early, eating a lot of dirt, but responded gamely and to get the victory. And awesome again. It was a pretty easy go for him. He won with a lot in reserve. Very very nice effort on his part, and Pat Burns done an excellent job, obviously, of getting him up to the race and choreographing his orchestrating his run that year. He wound up winning the Breeders' Cup Classic at Churchill Downs, and just had a stellar season.
It seems like most of the wins you had in the Whitney were from off the pace. Do you think that's the way to ride that race, be a little bit more patient because it's a mile and an eighth?
It depends on the horse and the running style and what they're doing. If you're on a horse that likes to run on or up close to the pace, I think it's self-defeating if you try to take your horse out of his natural way of running. I've always contended that the best rider was a good passenger. And that was sort of the way I approached it. Get him out of there. I'd like to get a horse away from the gate cleanly. I like to break clean and get them comfortably placed, and then get them turned off as quickly as possible. Turned off by that, I mean relaxed. Obviously, you're going a mile and an eighth, and they only pay off at the wire. They don't pay off any other place in the race. So you want to conserve your horse and use that use his run when you feel it will serve you best and hopefully get you to the wire in front. But to take a horse that, if you're watching the races today and it seems that horses up close to or on the pace are winning and you're on a horse that comes from back out of the pack, I think it's self-defeating to try to jack him away from there and get him up close. I think you need to ride the horse the way the race comes up and the way your horse has been running. So, to say that you need to be patient and wait, you want to do what you need to do to be in front at the finish line, whatever that requires.
Hall of Famer Pat Day joining us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Pat, yesterday we welcomed four new members into the Hall of Fame, including jockey Chris Antley and trainer King Leatherberry, and you were there. You were among so many of the past Hall of Famers that were introduced to Saratoga. When you get a chance to come back here for that event, for the Hall of Fame each year, what's that like for Pat Day to come back and see all those great Hall of Famers in that one room?
Well, the Hall of Fame is a very special fraternity. It's an honor to be included in that group. They've all obviously have excelled in their profession. In order to be included in that, and it's a joy. It's a privilege and an honor to sit there amongst all of the Hall of Famers and to witness those being inducted. And certainly King Leatherberry and Chris Antley are very deserving of that honor and welcome additions to this great fraternity.
Pat, before we let you go, you've been very instrumental in recent years in working with the racetrack chaplaincy and being a spokesperson for them. What can you tell us about the chaplaincy, and what do you want people to know about that particular organization?
Well, it's a wonderful ministry. It's the only vehicle that's actively endeavoring to bring the love of Jesus Christ to the people in the horse racing industry. And Chaplain Umberto here in New York, along with Nick Harris and their team, are doing an excellent job of reaching out to the people in the horse racing community, helping them with some of their physical and some of their material needs, but specifically with their spiritual needs, sharing the love of Jesus Christ with them in hopes that they might come to know and to love and to trust in the Lord. And it's not just here in New York, but it's all across the United States. I don't know what the exact number of chaplains are that we have in place today, but we've got some excellent men and women on the ground that have their boots on the ground. They're touring the backside of the racetracks throughout North America every day, building relationships with the men and women that are working back there and making themselves available to help meet their needs, whatever that might be.
Well, Pat, we really do appreciate the time, and keep up all the great work with the chaplaincy, and anything we can do to help out on that front, please let us know. The door is open, and enjoy the rest of the weekend here in Saratoga, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be on board with you guys, and great to be here in Saratoga for the weekend, praying for a day of safety without accident nor injury to neither man nor beast. Let us all have a good, great day of racing. God bless you guys and your listeners.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Pat. Pat Day.